Chapter 8. After that, he did what he said he'd do. He got back to work, running down potential leads, one by one, using the local data sifted by his iris, not going back to the bastion except to take a clattering mag carrier to the depot entrance and retrieve his ground car. If he stayed longer, he'd be spied by someone, and then he'd have to see Von Geller, and that would annoy him. Best to stay in the city, keep his head down, try to salvage something worth using. As he drove through Jurgeina, heading south on the Targetai Marta multilane, alerts came in across the data veil, warning of possible unrest in the organised crime nexus, something to keep an eye on. They were sent to everyone in the sector. So now everyone knew there'd be a botched raid, and that he'd been the name behind it, and that it was going to make any Vedora in their sights restive. Great. For his sins, he called on more names from Adierd's extensive collection of semi-detached friends. No, no probator, nothing strange at all. Did I know him well? You know, not really. Parties? Friend of a friend, I guess. Yes, probator. I'll let you know if I hear anything. It was all he could do not to hang his forehead into the data slate. The fog of tiredness just grew, spreading like a blood infusion. He needed to eat something again. His stomach growled, feeling like it was full of liquid, which it probably was. He reviewed the files he'd pulled up on the Tereshova business, its rivals, its engagement with the authorities. Like any big trade house, they'd had run-ins with a swathe of firms. The No Men Group, the Jash Corporation, the Lawella Collective, various infringements of regulations flagged up, but nothing that raised much of an eyebrow. There were significant payments to security companies, and no doubt larger payments, not recorded, to shadier outfits like the Vedora. He managed to track down a man who'd worked on contract providing close protection for the Tereshovas. He was called Barisa Karkev, and he worked for a private security outfit with roots throughout Havduk and the other higher-worth claves. Zidorov hadn't initially intended to call on him, hoping that a body might turn up in the Grade Eights, but Brecht was right. You had to do the legwork. Karkev still worked for the detail, though the contract with the Combine had been terminated some time ago, which meant that he might be prepared to talk. It wasn't clear what he might talk about, but the more Zidorov got his background, the better. Zidorov pulled off the multilane, back down into the shade of the low-rise streets, where the jumbled Habs cut the red sunlight out, and everything simmered down into the familiar shadowed darkness of drain stink, body heat and engine wash. They met in a public refec house, one of the many in the district specialising in the old Jurgeina staples. It was quiet, and as Zidorov entered, he saw Karkev sitting alone near the window, facing the entrance, his hands under the table. A dingy bar took up space at the rear of the dining area, which was decked out cheaply in plastic and formica. Lightweight moulded statues of the Primarchs and Saint Zatrova were placed at the centre of each square table. There was no pipe music, thankfully. It smelt of cooking oil, cracked pepper, and hard charred meat, the pillars of Jurgeina's artery-hardening cuisine. Zidorov took a seat opposite Karkev and signalled for two Genizas.
Thanks for meeting, he said.
No problem, said Karkev. Anything for the law.
He was burly as expected, with two raised scars on his left cheek. His hair was clipped short over a pale, thick-looking skull. He had full lips, bruised knuckles, and a heavy paunch. From the way he sat, Zidorov guessed he carried a decent-sized sidearm at his belt. He was dressed smartly, with a dark jerkin tightly fitted over his barrel chest. He looked handy with a sensible demeanour. In Zidorov's experience, the better private firms that did major corporate work usually were. You couldn't afford to be too overtly thuggish when commercial reputations were held at a premium.
So, you worked for Udmil Tereshova, Zidorov said.
Mordak.
I thought they came as a pair.
Maybe they do in some ways, not all the time. I was in close protection, bodyguard detachment, so I followed him around.
For how long?
Oh, just over a year, I think. Yeah, 10 months, give or take.
What ended the contract?
They rotate all their security. The big families always do. It's a short ride. They don't like having outsiders get too close.
Zidorov nodded.
What about the son? You knew him?
A bit. Never worked with him direct.
The Genizas arrived, carried on a steel salver. They were both the heavy local stuff, brewed from the thick brown malts cultivated in the rain-soaked agrizones. The liquid was as dark as tar, the head thick like clotted cream. As soon as Zidorov looked at it, he wondered if he should have ordered something solid just to keep things on track.
"Anything worried you about him?" Zidorov asked. "Anything unusual?"
Karkov drank, then smiled wryly.
"If he'd been my son, I'd have shipped him off-world in a cargo crate. The Gilded, though, they're a race apart. They don't think like you and me. I guess he was no different. Never had much to do, far as I could see. Spoilt."
"Sexual partners?"
"Dozens, but nothing significant. They're bored, those slips. They take topaz, drink retsy. They sleep in a different hutch every night. I thought he wanted to be taken more seriously sometimes, but I don't think it came to much. You know, make the old man proud."
"Did they have a good relationship then, him and the father?"
"Ach, they all hate each other. They stay out of each other's way. But I think he wanted old Mordak to respect him a bit, see him as a man after his own heart. But they didn't trust him with much."
"And the mother?"
"No idea. I don't think she cared much, to be honest. Not the maternal type."
"That wasn't the impression I got when I spoke to her. She seemed upset about it."
"About what? Someone's finally done the little bastard in?"
"Possibly." Zidorov took a long draught of the Geniza, and it warmed him all the way down. "I'm still trying to work out how someone could have got to him."
"Not easy. The houses they live in, they're like fortresses. I'd say virtually impossible, unless someone on the inside has something to do with it. The only time they're even slightly vulnerable is when they have to drive or take an atmospheric transport. They have guards with them then, and the ground cars are all armoured, but still, that's the weak spot."
"Interesting.
But I guess you'd have heard about it if they'd gone for a ground car, or they'd have been shooting on a major arterial, heavy duty, hard to hide."
"Maybe. I could do with speaking to someone who really knew him. Someone who could tell me more about what he might have been doing, where he might have gone." Karkov pursed his lips.
"There was one, a while ago. Not sure I'd know a name. Seemed all right to me. I don't think they were lovers. I'm not sure why he kept her around. She wasn't like the others, all plastic and rouge. Plain-like, but they seemed to get on. Maybe that was why. She might have been from the Missionaria. Trying to save his soul, maybe. Something like Irina. Nah, sorry, not much help."
"That's plenty of help." Zidorov sat back in his seat, wanting to stretch out, to yawn widely. He blinked and dropped a tab of 50 slates into Karkov's data veil node. "For your trouble," he said. "If you think of anything else, you can find me." Karkov nodded in appreciation.
"Look, I don't know if I should say this, but... see, I worked with them for a while. We were just the source, so to speak, the public bodyguards, more or less for show. I don't think I ever had to pull a gun out in 10 months. The Tereshovas had some serious people working for them in-house, dangerous people. If Adiaird had found trouble, which I can believe, I reckon they might have found it easier to handle it themselves."
Zidorov drained the rest of his drink.
"The thought had occurred to me. Thanks for talking. I'll see what I can do with the name."
Then it was more work on the data files, more fruitless attempts to make connections. The broadcast images sent out to the sanctioners on patrol had uncovered nothing, just as anticipated. The city got on with its business, somehow managing to cope in the absence of Adiaird Tereshova. Nothing turned up in the public bulletins on the information channels, which didn't surprise him. It was as if he'd never existed. Those who'd known him didn't care. Those who hadn't had no idea he was gone. Zidorov linked to the analysers at the Bastion's data veil mode and had the connection request routed to Alexei Kuo, the little man who ferreted away in the archive and the municipal records and who owed him a favour or two.
"Azido," came the wheedling voice into his irises receptors. "Thought Castellan had put a hit on you or something. Where are you?"
"Out and about. How busy are you?"
"I can barely find the time to sleep."
"I need one little thing. Staff records at the Missionaria stations in the Vostoka and Havduk districts. I'm looking for an individual, Irina or Iruna, maybe."
"So which is it?"
"You tell me. It might be something else. Female, young, some possible link to the Tereshova family. Soon as you can."
Kuo laughed.
"So what have you done then? Why's Von Geller got her blades out for you?"
He didn't feel like discussing it. Thanks a lot. Vox me when you get something.
Then he cut the link. He reviewed what he'd done, what he'd got, and reflected on how little it was. He thought of the bodies glimpsed through the doorway of the Vedora den, and couldn't help wondering where they'd been taken to. The cells were efficient to have moved them all so quickly. Despite everything Brecht had said, he felt sure he hadn't been spotted. Usually you knew, you remembered a slip you'd made, a moment you'd pushed it too far. So they'd been warned. There must have been. That closed things off, at least for the time being. But once things cooled down, that would have to be looked into. No rain fell on the journey back, although the clouds continued to gather. The heat was moist now, like a headache behind the eyes, gathering and gathering until the inevitable break that everyone now wanted. The pressure was tangible, thickening up, making it feel like you were walking through Geniza, building, building. As he took the elevated transitway east, he saw the contrail of a big cargo lifter coming down to the suborbital stations over to the north, its heavy belly filled with goods, its flanks steaming and spewing vapour. He thought of Borodina and realised she hadn't got back to him. That too would have to be chased down. He reached his hab unit and saw the light on at the window. The sky was black-purple and florid, ripe for a storm. When he got in and entered the refect chamber, Melija was already there. She looked up at him as he entered. "Good day," she asked. "Long," he said, walking over to the storage unit and rooting around for something to eat. "Yours?" "Fine, but then I got some sleep last night."
Zidorov tensed, but kept rummaging.
"So what time did you get in?" Melija asked.
"I don't remember. I told you I'd be..."
"Late, yes. Did you even come back?"
"Of course I did. What are we eating?"
"I've eaten."
Melija got up, a glass in her hand, and gave him a hard look.
"Naxi's coming back. You remembered that? She's got leave from the Feeder Academy, and she wants to talk about her placement."
Shit, he'd forgotten.
"I know. So clear your crap out of her room before she gets back. Then we need to talk. I don't want her in the guard. You know I don't, and she has to listen to us now, or it'll all be too late."
Zidorov scoured the cupboard for something. He could do without this.
"I'll get on it. What's happened to all the food?" "I work, you work. Only you work 26 hours, so it seems, and can't remember where you were when you were doing it, so I guess you're flat out of luck."
Zidorov slammed the door closed. "What's that supposed to—"
"When you're ready to give some time to your schedule, we need to figure out a strategy, because I'm not waiting for the Munitorum to send me my In His Glorious Service data burst detailing on what shithole world she died. You got that? She's not joining up."
Then she brushed past him, heading back to the dorm chamber.
"And you can sleep in her bed again tonight once you've done. I need some rest, and you clearly don't. We'll talk tomorrow."
The slide door slammed, and a little bit more of the wall paint flaked off. Zidorov leant against the wall and blinked heavily. He remembered Breck's words. "Yeah," he said, "I've just got it all."